Brown will speak on, "For Her Price Is Far Above Rubies." Brother Brown.
There's no way to find, at least for me, the words to express to Cliff the kind way I feel and appreciation for the introduction. And to say to the brethren, to the elders, to all of you here at Eastside, and many of you who are attending these lectures from other places, how important it is to be able to be with you, to gain the strength that comes by fellowshipping brethren who are striving to walk the straight and narrow way no matter what anybody else does. I have some close personal friends here. I won't try to name all of them. You've been a great help to me in being a preacher of the gospel. And yes, I preach before, during, after lunch. In fact, I'll preach at the drop of the hat, and I'll drop the hat. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I intend to be that all the days of my life. As long as my brain can function as well as it does now, and my tongue can put into words what goes across my mind, I'm going to preach. And I'm going to do my best to live what I preach. And hopefully I'll have an attitude that I'll try to correct my life where it's out of harmony with the Lord's will. That's all the Lord asks of you or me. It's just that. Well, he's asked a lot, but it's still all he asks of us if we'll just acquiesce to his will. If we'll just be determined to do it the way he wants us to do it. I'm his creature. I didn't create him. And it might be, since we're talking about woman, we'll have more to say about that a little later, joke I heard about when Adam was, after they'd been cast out of the garden. And it's funny at first, but there's a serious point too. He was walking with Abel, and he thumbed back over toward the garden when they were outside of it, and he said, "That was our home, for your mama ate us out of house and home." And you have to think about that. But our mouths, brethren, get us into more trouble than sometimes we won't admit. And usually it's because we say what the Bible prohibits, and we won't say what the Bible says we ought to say. Now, I'm talking about with God. Stephen taught the truth to people, and those he wanted to see go to heaven killed him because he wanted to go to heaven. So we can get in trouble that way too. But I'm talking about learning to say what the Lord authorized us to say, whether it's dealing with our children, with our wives, our husbands, our parents, brethren in the church, people outside the church, on the job, in the school, and wherever it is. We just simply must strive with all of our being to submit to every precept that comes from the mouth of God. That's what we're here to do. And until we learn that, then we're not going to have the happy life that God intended us to have on this earth. And we won't be preparing ourselves for heaven. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. For her price is far above rubies. Now I want the women to understand, I want the men to understand too, that the Bible's full of the teachings concerning what men ought to do, what husbands ought to do, what fathers ought to do. But this is dealing with what the Bible teaches women ought to be, and the kind of woman that God wants her to be. And what kind she is, her price is far above anything that one could place in a monetary value. Her price is far above rubies. That comes from Proverbs 31:10. What a thought that is. Now in a moment we're going over to Proverbs 31 and spend a little more time there. But I want to deal with a passage that's been considered one of those hard passages to try to understand that we're trying to learn the very sphere that the woman is to live in, where God intended her to work. Now, if you are of the Equal Rights Amendment, get up and leave if you don't intend to hear the truth of God and change your views. I say that kindly, but you're going to get an attitude that I'm some sort of, well, what do they call it?
Male Sheldon's pig.
Thank you, Benny. I knew somebody in the audience would know it, and I was pretty sure Benny would be that person. Male Chauvinist pig. Well, now, that I always thought, you know, they have a right to say things like that. And, you know, that's bound to be said in love and kindness, because people like that don't say things like that unless they say it in love, kindness, tenderness, and they really think a lot of me when they tell me that. You see, you can say things like that if you're on that side of the fence regarding the truth of the gospel concerning the place that God made woman to be. And that's all right. But God can say some plain things about woman, where she came from and what she's to do. And that's not all right. Well, I think I'll take God on it. I just think I'll walk with Him. And I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 13. Start there. Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. A lot of people don't believe that. But that doesn't change what the inspired writing says. Adam was first formed and then Eve in verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and love or charity and holiness and sobriety. That last verse, verse 15, has been one of the problem verses. Because when we read, she shall be saved in childbearing, we think immediately of the literal physical birth of a child, a woman giving birth to a child, a baby, an infant. And we can't understand how that works, how it fits in, how she will be saved from physical death and the bearing, literally the birth of a child. We miss the whole point if we relegate this verse to just that interpretation. And this fits directly into the very lesson we're talking about, the lesson that's under discussion. The being saved in childbearing is simply this. The woman is expected to live in a certain realm, and he says it has to do with the idea of bringing up children and the home and the things that pertain to a wife and a mother, and that's exactly what's meant there. She'll be saved if she stays in the realm where God put her. Now we're going to see that this woman over in Proverbs 31 had some business dealings. Well, does the Bible contradict itself? Does it mean here in verse 15 that she's got to stay in the house and all she can do is wash the clothes? All she can do is prepare the meals? Of course, that may sound foreign to some women. They haven't washed clothes, prepared meals in years. At least some of these modern day dainties, or whatever they are. But the point is, he is simply saying, Timothy, as a preacher, when you preach the gospel to the people and you deal with women, she has a sphere to work in and she'll be saved if she knows she's a woman and she lives like God said women ought to live. And that's basically in the area of being a wife and a mother and all that has to do with a wife and a mother. Now you can harp and you can jump and you can come up here and gnash on this table and it'll still read the same way. It won't change. And on the day of judgment, it'll read the same way. It just won't change. And when you read Proverbs 31 and you realize the Bible does not contradict itself, you'll see that it's in complete harmony with the kind of woman whose price is far above rubies, because that woman understands and seeks God's will in her life and seeks therefore to find the place where she can best do what a woman does. And when she marries, what a wife does. And when she has children, what the Bible says a mother does. Now, do you think many people are out here seeking that today? Do you think we in the church, under the law of Christ, which we are to live and to preach, are heralding that out here to the world? And yet, every other marriage ends divorce. And so many women don't know the first thing in the world about what to do to be a wife and all that that word means, and especially a mother and all that that means. That's not to say that men haven't abdicated what God has enjoined upon them. Remember, we're just simply dealing with the women. It sometimes may be like we have to do our children. You know, you start trying to discipline one of them, and immediately the finger says, but he or she did the same thing. And my remark is, well, right now we're dealing with you. We'll deal with them some other time. Right now we're dealing with what the Bible says concerning what God said concerning women. So please don't think I'm neglecting the men. Somebody else will take care of them later. With that in mind, I want you to go with me then to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. I think it's highly important to understand, as you are turning over there, to keep in mind from Genesis 2 and verse 18 why woman was created in the first place. In verse 18, the scripture reads, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should live alone. I will make him an help meet for him. I've heard people say, she's a help meet. They coined a new phrase there. She is a help that is worthy of being what no animal on this earth could be to a man. That's what he's saying. Because he had all these other things God created. But he's looking out through all the animal world, all the fishes, etc., etc., birds and so on. There wasn't anybody that could really be what man needed. So the deep sleep brought upon Adam by God, rib taken from his side, and made the woman. Made that which was special to the man. And there's not anything in this world that can take the place of the woman to accomplish what God intended her to accomplish. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Just that sense. Homosexuality is a sin. Engaged in, lived in, died in, lost in. We've got to understand that. It is a perversion of that which is natural. Read Romans 1 and see how that's unnatural for men to be with men and women to be with women. God made the woman to accomplish this particular thing, to be a help, and all that that word H-E-L-P means, that's worthy or meet, and that's the meaning of the word meet in the King James, worthy of him, to do all that the Bible says a woman ought to do in that marvelous institution called marriage. That's so bemeaned, belittled, and brought low today. So that's why she was created. And we mentioned how she was created. Genesis 2, verses 21 through 24. There is companionship involved as far as the woman is concerned and the man's relationship to her. And the husband and the wife, in the light of God's word, must recognize and accept then God's order. Not your order, not my order, but God's order of things for their lives. It is a sad day indeed when little girls are brought up to desire more of being outside of a home and preparing to be outside of the place of a wife and a mother than they're being cultivated and encouraged to be feminine, to be ladylike, as we are wont to say, to be womanly, and to make the difference in the sexes. We don't encourage the men to be men and all the Bible says that a boy and a man ought to be. And we're not encouraging women to be women and all that the Bible says a woman ought to be. You've got unisex. And that was held up a little more a few years ago than now. But it's still there, just as strong as it ever was. Woman's a man, man's a woman. Isn't that great? It wasn't meant to be that way and it shouldn't be that way. But everything from the public school to all sorts of religion and government is trying to make it so. Well, that's certainly not the woman whose price is far above rubies. She's a singular character. She's a person of tremendous importance. So, in understanding the divine purpose, notice the divine purpose, and the divine order of woman, we must look to such passages as Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. And, of course, there are certain traits recorded in this passage. And we need to understand that particular point. Well, let's look for a moment. Let's notice, beginning in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? A pure woman, a strong woman, a woman, and let's use a phrase applied by God to David, a woman who is after God's own heart, desirous of being what God said a woman ought to be. Let's remember, too, as we're talking about what's involved in this business of having women be God's women, that another young preacher was instructed as to what he should teach the church. And one of the reasons we don't have women who understand what it is to be a virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies is because we don't have the aged women who've lived like they ought to and doing what Paul said Titus, or told Titus to teach the women to do. Notice in Titus chapter 2, in verse 3, after he tells men what they ought to do, he says, the aged women likewise. Well, knowing how vain some women are, no wonder some won't do what he says, because no woman's able to admit she's aged. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. And remember what you heard on that yesterday concerning wine. Fits perfectly in here. It'll interpret it for you. Teachers of good things. Now look at verse 4. Brethren, we've missed this in the church. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, that's C-H-A-S-T, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now why Paul, that the word of God be not blasphemed, that it be not spoken against. But notice, God thought that people would have to be trained. Women would have to be trained to accomplish these things. How many congregations are having the older women with the experience of years of applying the principles of the gospel to their life, taking the younger women aside and teaching them these things? How many mothers are doing this with their daughters? I just don't believe it's being done in any way as it ought to be. With that in mind, then think about what you would teach if you were teaching your daughter regarding the worthy woman, the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31:10. How to be a help worthy of the man. Notice very plainly, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Now those of us in the church who have lived as the Bible directed us to regarding marriage, regarding husband's responsibilities and wife's responsibilities, we don't have so much of a problem with this. But how many people could be in this building today that when you read this, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, would laugh because they don't trust their wife any further than throw her, and with just cause. Because she may be obedient to a husband, but it may be everybody but her real husband. And allow me to get on my soapbox a little more than I usually am. If you sit at that television and watch as the world turns, and all of whatever it is, all my children, and all those other things, there's something wrong with you if you like that stuff. They can't stay out of the bed very long. And it's never with somebody, well, it's always with somebody else's husband. It's always something like that. Now you ask yourself the question, if you're caught up on those things, why do I like that? What appeals to me about that? Why do I want to watch that? Well, it's obvious the majority of our nation loves that stuff. Well, you just look at the kind of description you've got here. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. I want to raise my daughter so that when they marry, hopefully marrying a godly man, hopefully I say, that he can trust them so far as being the proper wife. And it just can't be said of a lot of people nowadays. And we could, of course, turn it around to the husband. People marry for all reasons other than what the Bible said they ought to marry. They don't respect God's marriage laws. Just about mid-spring, a young couple came in. They attended services at Southwest a very few times. They were from over here in Memphis. The young lady just said, I want to go home. And I'm leaving him. I'm going home. They were down there because of their jobs. So I asked her, I said, do you remember the vows you took? And you remember that it was God that joined both of you together? That you didn't just make a vow to him and he didn't just make a vow to you. You made a vow to God, he made a vow to God. Until death do you part. And I summed it all up by saying through thick and thin, until death do you part. So do you understand that you're saying you want to break up this marriage for reasons other than what's laid down in the Bible? And I asked them, I asked her, has he committed fornication to where he's the guilty party of Matthew 19:9 and you can put him away? No. Well, why are you doing this? I want to go home. Brethren, there's something wrong there. It's an attitude of childishness. Of, I want my own way. He couldn't trust her. Would you? That's happening over and over and over again. That and much worse. So that he shall have no need of spoil. He doesn't have to worry about it. She's going to do what a wife ought to do. She's going to raise the children accordingly. He can trust her to take care of things at home. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good and not evil. Think about that. All the days of her life. She's interested in being a wife to him. She wants to have the house clean. She wants to be presentable to him. She wants to see the kids brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She wants to help him be the head of the house. She wants to help study the Bible and encourage everything of a godly sort. He doesn't have to worry about a thing from that standpoint. Now notice, she's an industrious person. Very industrious. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Well, I realize this is said in those times and in that culture. Some women, if they had lived, that is women today, if they had lived at that time, they wouldn't have known what the wool and the flax would be, much less working with their hands, because the fake fingernails would have to be taken off. That's sad, brethren. Think of the situation where women don't want to be wives and mothers, and we're cultivating that to where husbands can't trust in their wives to be what a wife ought to be. And even prepare a meal, just a simple meal, that scorched water. Modern conveniences, of course, should help the modern woman to excel in the, notice I say, primary work intended for. I know from this that if she seeks this wool and the flax, she works willingly with her hands. And when you look down in verse 14, she's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. You look in verse 15, she rises also while it's yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. It's obvious that she is a woman who is a businesswoman in her work. She manages things. She orders it. She takes care of it. She gets what's started done. Now, you, I think, probably understand that this is just the way most of your lives have been. It is not the case with most people today. That's sad to say, it is just not so. If you have been that sheltered, then you need to realize that it's just not the case with most women, younger women today. I say most. You may be thinking I'm being overly, what, hard on this. Well, if I am being hard on it and realizing that men aren't being what men ought to be according to the Bible, then if I'm being overly hard on all of this, it's what a woman ought to be, and since I'm not discussing it, but what a man ought to be, then why are all these problems coming as they are? Why are there so many divorces, every other marriage? Why are there so many abused children? Why are there so many neglected children? And by the way, that's one of the worst kinds of abuse you can have, is just simply neglect the child. You only have them as children for a short time. And I realize that when you've done the best you can in example and teaching, they're still free moral agents. They can grow up and reject all of that and walk their own way. I understand that perfectly well. But at least you can say that you've done your part in the matter and they've rejected the proper counsel. But do you see the very point that we're making? Do you see that there is a breakdown in the most fundamental principles regarding the very sphere of a woman's work? And her understanding that the primary work involves being a wife and a mother. And God has said she works in that area and cultivates that. Then she shall be saved because she's doing what God said she ought to do and what He created her to do. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. That's on down in verse 20. She's compassionate. She's helpful. Love does not exist where there is no compassion. And yet there's a many of a husband that comes home. Do you remember Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew? You know what a shrew is? A little teeny thing. Meaner than a snake. Now, that's what a lot of men have to put up with when a woman. Come home hard at work, and what does he run into? Teeth sharper than a vampire's. And a tongue sharper than that. Now that's terrible. Whatever happened to love and compassion, mercy and tenderness, and a friendly face at the door? Instead, right the opposite. Compassion is seen in helping others, and primarily beginning right there in that home. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet, verse 21. All that is getting over to us is that this is a person being a wife and a mother who anticipates family needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, physical needs. Here is portrayed a wise and a thoughtful wife and woman, mother. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple, verse 22. She knows how to present herself well. Knows how to not spend the whole paycheck at Walmart's or Kmart's or some mart. And yet dresses modestly. That is not just something that is evolved, folks. You have to teach and train little girls to learn how to do things. Just like little boys have to be trained to be husbands and fathers. It just doesn't happen. You know what's wrong with us? Most of us in this room, especially those who are old enough to be my parents, grew up in an age where the whole culture, society, encouraged a man to be a man and a responsible person and to be a godly father. Oh, there were exceptions. Always have been exceptions. And the same regarding the woman. But everything is broken down in society and in our culture, for the most part, that cultivates these things. And we wonder why it's all falling apart. Well, the reason why is the most fundamental values of our society, most of them based upon biblical principles, are not just something that happens now. They really never did. But they were so traditional, so much a part of us, they seemed to be just there and would never go away. But they have gone away. They're going away more, and the end is not yet. We get concerned over the last years of maybe our children going off to denominationalism. Baptist, Methodist, whatever. Well, it's a good possibility, very good possibility, that your great-grandchildren, your grandchildren, if they leave, the church may not be in Methodism or some denominational church, but they may be Buddhists and they may be Muslims. Do you realize what that does regarding the basic moral ideas insofar as the conduct of a woman? We just have failed overall in getting the points brought out regarding what it is to be feminine and what it is to be masculine and all that that has to do with keeping our society going, and we've got to get back to such things as this. She's a wise person. She's frugal with the money she has. She's frugal with what she spends. She discerns the need of the whole family. And she doesn't just always grab the plastic and to go see how much she can charge and then whine to the husband because the money's not there to pay it. She respects his work and understands, and she supports him in all of this. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land, verse 23. This indicates he is thought of when you understand that the well thought of people and responsible folks were the judges of that time and the judgments took place. You might say the city council met and the courts met in the gates. And this simply is saying he's a well thought of man. The woman then is assisting him to be what he ought to be in being what God intended him to be. And we can't expect any more than that. He does not need another mother. Some women don't understand that. The wife is not taught to be the husband's mother. He doesn't need another competitor at home. He's got all that he needs out here in the workaday world. She needs to learn to love him as the Bible teaches a wife should love her husband. And that's where the aged woman comes in. It's always amazed me that we shouldn't put in a 22-year-old preacher as the matron, and I use that lightly, you understand, over one of the dorms in colleges. Why don't we do that? I'm talking about a woman's dorm. Why don't we do that? Well, we'd still have a little bit of sense. Now, some of these colleges might put somebody like that over. Instead, they go find the older woman to be over the girls' dorm. They don't put the 22-year-old preacher. I was preaching down on the coast back in September. And the preacher that's there is in his 30s. And he described a couple that are in their 90s. And he said he got a call one day. And the lady was saying, you've just got to get over here immediately. You've just got to get here. He said, I don't know what was happening. Thought he may have fallen out and died or something. Beat it over there. And you know what they want to do is have him counsel them because they wanted a divorce. I don't know who they thought would have them if they left one another. But that's what in the world. Can you imagine that? We usually say, well, that wouldn't happen to that age bracket, married all those years. He said, that was what. And he said, they said, I thought, sitting there at 30-something years old, people older than me, my great-grandparents, and I'm having to try to tell them. Well, we're in that today. But there's the Bible, and the same Bible that teaches he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved teaches these traits regarding the worthy woman. She can be a good listener. A wife needs to learn to be a good listener. Listening to what he's got to say. Sometimes you're the only one he can talk to. Now, I know you can turn it around and say the same thing. I understand that. But we're talking about the woman now. Sometimes that's the only person that husband can really get everything off his chest to is that wife. Are you a good listener? She can learn how to offer advice without usurping his authority. Some women never learn that. They just never learn. They come in, and the only way they can offer advice is be to grab up the baseball bat and said, you know, here's what you ought to do. She could be and ought to be his best friend. He ought to think of her that way. She should help him present the best picture possible wherever he is. I think all of that derives from this one particular comment concerning how he's thought of and where he is and what he's accomplishing in life as a man. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 26. It is no accident that Satan went directly to Eve rather than directly to Adam. Remembering the very purpose and the design of the woman, Satan knew how quickly he could get the man, and it was through the woman. Because he knew, as well as anybody, that the woman was a help worthy of the man. He knew why God created the man. He knew the relationship and the power she had over him. And you know, Adam trusted her. She was deceived, the Bible says. Adam just accepted the thing and ate it. He trusted in her. That's the reason that when a woman who goes bad uses all of the ability she has designed to appeal to the man in a wrong way, and things are in terrible shape. And there's no accident that the saying comes up, she's got him wrapped around her little finger. I never have heard that, I don't think, unless in jest applied the other way around. That he's got her wrapped around his little finger. Maybe some other phrase we use to get the point across, but it's usually the idea that through the way that she operates strictly, that's the feminine appeal to the man, she gets him to do just about anything she wants. Well, when that's under the sway of God's will, look what a power she is to help a man be a godly man. And any job that woman takes that takes away from her sphere of influence in working in the home and being what the Bible says she ought to be and accomplishing, being a wife to him and all that that means, and a mother to those children, is not good and is not wholesome. It cannot be what ought to be. It cannot help her go to heaven. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Her tongue has the law of kindness. She's not harsh and she's not critical. She's mindful of helping her husband. She's mindful of helping the children. She wants to see them develop godly characteristics, and she wants to be what she ought to be in doing that. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. There's your virtuous woman, the worthy woman. One of the things that has to be gotten over to all of us sometime when we're growing up, or at least sometime in life, if we ever make anything out of ourselves, we're worthwhile to society and to God, is that we must learn that respect and praise are earned. You prove that you're worthy, that you're a responsible person, that you're trustworthy, that you're going to take care of things with a responsible attitude. This woman that's described in Proverbs 31, operating in the sphere that God made her to operate in, is worthy, is virtuous, because she understands that. And she's not out here trying to be something that the Bible teaches a wife and a mother should not be. She cultivates that which helps her in all that we've studied here today, and so much more could be said. The godly woman is what she is because she chooses to be that. Brethren, we are not encouraging our young girls to choose and to labor to be these things. It's just like when it comes to trying to get young men to be preachers. We hear them, well, you ought to get a good education, be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever. Well, I have no problem with that. I have quite a bit of education myself. But there's some things that come first and some things come second. We sometimes get them turned around the other way. And just like when it comes down to the girl, yes, our young lady shouldn't be ignoramuses. They should have a good education. They should understand how to live in this highly technical world. But they should learn that those things should help them be a wife and a mother, not to step out of that realm of a wife and a mother and handicap the whole thing. So what can we say? Well, she needs to apply Matthew 6:33 in this whole thing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. She needs to know why God created her. She needs to know the purpose of her life as a woman. She needs to do all of this and know that God expects her to do it. The husband should not want his wife to be anything that God did not intend her to be. And of course, that's ready for another sermon. The responsibility of the man when he marries the husband, when children come along, the father. And helping her be this. I know for a fact, and then the lesson's yours, that a lot of women have husbands that are worthless. And they're forced to have to do some things to eke out a living for the children. And to be able to give some sort of stability to the home. That if the husband would be what God said he ought to be, then he would be helping her be what God said she ought to be. And together they make a unit that cannot be broken. The fundamental basic unit of society. This is what's wrong many times in the church. The gospel can be preached in all of its power and purity in this pulpit. Taught in these classrooms. And godly elders can do what they ought to do. But all of that is supplemental to the responsibility laid upon the father and the mother and the training and the teaching of that child at home. It cannot take the place of little boys in the home being raised to be what God says a man ought to be. And little girls being raised to be by training, by example, and by teaching. So they can be called the worthy woman, the virtuous woman, whose price is far above rubies. Thank you.